turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 this morning. As we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, we are going to look at a parable that's recorded here. This is one of the two parables in Scripture that is actually interpreted for us as we go through this. And we're going to see some thoughts here, some things that are given. In this parable, there are going to be some things that are referred to. The sower, and the sower, as we'll find out later on in this portion, is the Son of Man. We're also going to see the bird, which refers to Satan. The seed, which is the Word of God. And so keep those things in mind, and we'll, and the, of course, the field is the world, and we're going to be hitting some of this as we go through some of this morning. And we're going to spend a little bit of time on getting into this with the sower and the seed, but I want to spend the bulk of the time on the ground, on the soil. Because I want to ask ourselves a question this morning. When's the last time that you had your heart checked? When's the last time that you had your heart checked? Now, some say, well, I haven't noticed any heart problems. But some of you in this room, you didn't notice any heart problems till it was almost too late. You end up having issues that were related somehow to the heart, and you had to have treatment to be able to get you back where you need to be. Other of you know that you have heart problems, and you don't always take care of the issue or take care of what is needed. Some of you know you have heart problems, and you go in for your regular checkups, and you're told what to do, and you keep doing it, and you see things getting a little bit better, and eventually you're healed, if you will, of your heart issue. Now this morning, as we look at this, there is one interpretation as we get to Scripture, but there are many applications. We will give the interpretation, but this morning I would like to make many applications, especially when we get to each of the soils. Because each of the soils can apply, have application to us in many different ways. Now, as we look, I believe that if you look at the straight interpretation of the Scripture, and we'll say this, three of the soils are talking about the unsaved. They're talking about those that have never had a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one soil, one ground, that is a true relationship, true salvation. But even in the other three, there's application that can be applied to us as believers in our lives. And I want you to ask yourself a question as we do our heart checkup this morning. How well do you know your heart? How well do you know your heart? When's the last time that you had an EKG of your heart? Spiritually speaking. Now, some of you physically just had some. Spiritually speaking, when's the last time? How well do you know your heart? If you're able to, please stand with me. Matthew chapter 13 this morning. We will read verse 1 through 9, and then we will read verse 18 through verse 23 this morning. Matthew chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now drop down to verse 18 and read through verse number 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the words of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anointed with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulations or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we ask as we look at this parable this morning, that you would illuminate your scriptures to us. We ask for those here in this building that you would leave the distractions so we can hear the truth you want us to hear. We ask for those that are watching at home, Lord, remove the distractions from them as well. Lord, help us to hear what you want us to hear. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's interesting, throughout Scripture, many times there are similar phrases to that. That if you have ears, hear it. Listen to it. And what I ask this morning is that each of us listen and hear and apply what God is speaking to us about. This morning, there may be some that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please hear. Please listen. Please respond according to the Word of God. I am not here, as we look at this, to get anyone to doubt their salvation. But I am here to make sure that each of us know without a shadow of doubt that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I am here this morning also as those that know the Lord as our Savior to examine our hearts, to examine our lives, and to make sure that each of us are living the way God wants us to live. Go ahead and look at verse number 3 again this morning. I want us, as we look at this heart checkup, I want us to look at verse number 3, and we see the sower. And there's a couple lessons I want to talk about the sower, then we'll get into the seed, and then we'll get into the ground. Verse number 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, as we look at the sower real quickly, we can go to other scriptures. We can go to Romans 10. We can go to other places in Matthew. We can go to other places in the book of Mark. We can go to many places in the gospel, and we can look at this idea of the sower. Now, we understand that the sower in this parable is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of Man. We understand this is the sower. This is the perfect example of what a sower is. We understand that the ministry of our Lord and Savior, when he came to this earth, what was the purpose that he came? He came to seek and to save them which were lost. And the purpose he came was to sow the seed, was to let people know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him, to let them know. That's the perfect example. Now, as we see some lessons about the sower, we have to understand that the sower has a devotion. A sower has devotion. The sower must absolutely be dedicated to his work. They say that only about 25% of what you plant usually grows. Now, they plant a little different in those days than what we do today. They would basically just scratch the surface, and they would take their seed and they would sow it. They would throw, more of a throw it. Now, I know today we do it, some do it a little different. Brother Rich has a machine. And Brother Rich will till the ground and get the ground ready. And he has this little handy-dandy machine. And most of the seeds he can plant with this machine. And it plants it the right, he can set the right depth. He can set everything he needs to set with this. And if it works right, it plants a seed the way it's supposed to be planted. Now, we all know technology doesn't always work the way, does it always work the way it's supposed to? No. Sometimes I think it's more work. Sometimes I think spending more time trying to fix the machine to get it to do what it's supposed to do than just doing it yourself, right? We all know that. But you sow it. It takes dedication. It takes work to be a sower. You can't just think, well, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to do this and I'm not going to put a lot of care into it, a lot of thought into it. No, a sower, if you want a harvest, if you want results, if you want to see things take place, you have to sow. Now, as you're sowing, as you're going out and you're sowing and you're doing this, you have to realize not every seed that you plant is going to grow. And that takes dedication. Because how many of us like instant results in everything we do? How many are like myself? You plant something, and every day you go and look at it and say, why isn't it growing yet? Oh, I must have done something wrong. It should be coming up. I tell you, in our church garden over the years, there's many times they plant, and I go, where is it? Oh, well, I don't want to say anything. I don't think it's going to grow. And then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks later, the plant's taller than me. And I'm like, okay, all right, it worked. But you want it real quick. You want to see it take place. But a sower's work takes dedication. I tell you, could you imagine even being Jesus himself when he went in this world? He came on his own, and his own received him not. Could you imagine the seeds that he sowed? Could you imagine the seeds that were sowed by the disciples and others throughout the Word of God? Yes, they did not see instant results. We talked about Jeremiah just a couple weeks ago. He never even saw results. We talked about others that sowed and sowed the seeds and didn't see results. But a sower's work takes dedication. It takes discipline. You have to do it the right way. You have to be disciplined about regularly doing it. Now, some of you gardeners, you want to be gardeners, you're kind of like me. You plant it, and if it doesn't grow, you just leave it alone and, oh well, you're done with it. Right? You're not disciplined enough to go out there every day to clean everything up, to make sure everything's good, to make sure the weeds are removed and that. You think you just put the seeds down, you hope enough rain comes from the sky, and boom, you got plant. You're not disciplined enough. Now, a good farmer, a good gardener, what do? They're out there usually a couple times during the day. They're out there to make sure not one little weed is coming by their plant. They're making sure it got the proper amount of water. Now, I hope Brother Rich's plants grow. We had an issue somehow. One of the sprinklers got stuck. And he came in one day, and he had a flood. A little too much water. The good thing is he didn't have to water for a while. The bad thing is it got a lot of water. But he used his machine, so all the seeds were where they needed to be, so none came up. Everything's going to be perfect. But it takes dedication. It takes discipline. It takes work to keep going. And as we see this in a garden, but it's the same in our lives. Many times we understand, and we understand what the interpretation is, but the application of this, we need to be sowers of the word. We need to be going out and sowing. We need to be going out and taking the gospel. And we need to be dedicated to this. I believe throughout the ages and throughout this world, many believers have become lax in spreading the gospel or sowing the seed. I believe many individuals throughout our day have not been the sower that we ought to be. We're not disciplined enough. We're not dedicated enough. Oh, it's something we started. Now, some of you, you started gardens when you were younger. And then you realize it was a lot easier to go to the Walmarts and buy them, even though they're not as good. I tell you, there is a difference between a Walmart tomato and a Garden Fresh tomato. Okay, a Walmart tomato works okay if you cover it with a bunch of other stuff, all right? But you don't take a Walmart tomato, cut it open and eat it. They don't taste good. But man, I tell you, nothing beats taking a garden tomato, wiping it off, right? Maybe. You wipe it off just a little bit, and then you take out your pocket knife, and you slice that thing, and you eat it, and the juices just come down your shirt and everything else. Then your wife gets mad at you. But you do that, and wow, man, it is delicious. There's many have started the garden, started being a sower. But over time, over times in their life, they've stopped. Well, we all need to be sowers. Well, it's because we don't have a regular program. Oh, it's because we don't have this. It's because we don't have that. It's because we're not doing this. No. We are to be a sower, and that is a command throughout Scripture given to each individual. And each individual, if there's this in place or that not in place, it doesn't matter. We still have a responsibility on a regular basis in our lives to be sowers of the seed. And we're to sow the seed. It takes discipline. There's also discouragement as you're a sower. We hit this a little bit, but sometimes when we don't see things the way we want them to see, we get discouraged. But oh, how we need not to be discouraged, because God is the one that gives the increase. We are to sow the seed. We are to take the seed. We're to plant the seed. But it's God that does the saving. It's God that gives the increase. That's a little bit about the sower. Let's look at the seed in verse number 4. And there's more we can say about both of these, but we're just going to cover these because I really want to get to the main thought of this message. Verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So there's the seed. The seed is the word of God. We see that throughout this parable. It's talked about it later on when it gives interpretation. It's worth. The seed is the gospel. The worth of the seed is valuable. I tell you, the seed in this case would be the most expensive seed that you could buy, because this seed is the most powerful seed that anyone can buy. Now, some of you, you go to Albertsons or you go to Walmart and you buy those little seeds in their little aisles. And there seems to be pretty decent price most of the time. And you get this big pack, and there's usually two seeds in it. But you buy this pack and you use that. But a lot of times, have you noticed, that seed doesn't always work as well. Now, some of others that are more into the gardening and farming, you order your seeds from different companies. You've researched what seeds you're going to buy because you want the seed that's going to give you the most fruit. You're trying to find the most powerful, the best seed, because you don't want to waste any. And you buy that seed. Now, as we look at this seed, the Word of God, we have to understand its worth, its weight, how precious this is. This is the greatest thing ever. What is it? It's the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the only thing. It's the power of the gospel which changes life. It's the only thing that can produce fruit. It's the only thing that can take something that is dead and make it alive. It is the only thing that can change an individual. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the seed. You see, there's the sower, but there's the seed. And the seed has to be sown. Because without the seed, there is no changed lives. The seed, the gospel, is the only thing that can change a life. We understand the seed and understand it being planted in the Word of God. Many people try to change people with their philosophy. Philosophy has never saved an individual. Now, don't get me wrong. We have to stand for truth. We have to stand for right. And sometimes we need to have a good, healthy discussion with individuals in a good way to share what the Word of God is saying. But someone's opinion of Scripture or someone's opinion of some things are not going to change an individual. What we have to sow is not a bunch of traditions that's been taught throughout the ages of a church. Traditions have never and will never save anyone. What needs to be sown is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care what you say, there's only one way of salvation according to the Word of God. The Bible is very clear what salvation is. Oh, we can get in all these arguments about all these other terms that man has put with salvation. But let me tell you, salvation is taught in the Word of God. It's simply this. Jesus loved you. Jesus died for you. Jesus took your sins upon his shoulders and rose again the third day. And he offers the only way of salvation. And the Bible says that you must call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel. That's salvation. Now, we can get in arguments about all the other terms that have been given throughout ages and all the other things that people try to figure out and understand, and that's wonderful, that's great, but let me tell you, that doesn't save a person. What saves a person is them understanding God opening their eyes, drawing them unto himself, and saving their soul. What saves a person is the power of the Word. Because without the power of the Word of God, man cannot be drawn unto God. It is God who draws man. And salvation is found in him. We see the sower. We see the seed. Again, we can say a lot about both of those. But let's get into the ground in the few minutes we have left. Look with me again, verse 4 and verse 19. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That is he which received the seed by the wayside. We have this soil, the hard soil. The hard soil. As the sower sowed, some of the seed fell on this hard pathway, the wayside. This is a picture of a person that hears the Word of God but refuses to allow the Word of God to access their heart. This is the path ground. Some of you have been camping and you've been hiking and you found areas of ground that is super hard. Some of you, when you first started your garden, now Brother Richard was just talking about this other day to Brother Dick. They didn't know I was even going to be preaching this, and it's interesting, I was listening. They talked about, Brother Rich talked about his ground that he uses, and when he first did it, he couldn't even use the rototiller to till it up. He had to take a shovel, isn't that right? And he had to take a shovel. See, I was listening to you. He had to take a shovel, and he used the shovel to turn up the ground first. Then he could take the rototiller and soften up the ground. This is the hard pack down. This is an individual that hears the Word of God that gets angry with the Word of God. This is an individual in our world today This is the people that you try to share the gospel with, and they try to get you in trouble for sharing the gospel. This is the one that's going to get angry, get upset, get mad about what you're saying. This is the one that's trying to make problems for the believer. This is the person that's hard to it. And this is the individual, unless God opens their eyes, they're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire because they are hard to the word of God. That's an interpretation. That's what Scripture is telling us. This is the hard soil. This is the pathway. This is the one that it falls and nothing comes. Nothing's going to happen. This is the hard ground. But here's an application. The interpretation is those that aren't saved. Those that you share the gospel, they're hard to it. The Bible talks many places, and we don't have time to get into that, but it talks about the hard-hearted. And we can get in and we can look at many different scriptures this morning. But here's an application, not just to the unsaved. Here's an application, not an interpretation, but application to the believer. There are those who have gotten saved, and they have allowed sin to harden their heart. They have gotten saved, and they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But now, as a so-called believer, as one that has made a profession, one who said they're saved, as time goes, they have become hard and callous to the things of God. This is the application. This is to those who have been in church. And some have been in church their whole lives. And some have been around it, and they know what the Bible teaches, and they know what the truth is, and they know all the things, but they become hard towards it. They said, oh, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm saved, and I understand this, but they become so hard to the things of God. Anytime someone tells them, hey, this is what the Bible says, they get angry, they get upset, even though they're supposed to be a child of His. And we have many individuals this can be applied to in our world today and some in our churches today that have become so hard towards the things of God. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. They put their so-called faith in the Lord, but they become hard to the things of God. Let me tell you, that's a bad place to be for a believer. It's better to be unsaved than be a believer that's become hard. Because what God does to wake up some people that become hard, it's nothing that you and I ever want to go through. God's cracked some hard people. But let me tell you, it takes a lot to get through to some people. Sometimes God's had to take some hard people and bring them all the way down. And then when they got all the way down, bring them even down further. And sometimes God has even sent stuff to people that become hard. And I tell you, you think they would wake up, and they still don't wake up. This is a scary place to be. Because if they're truly saved, and that's between them and God, if they're truly saved, that's a scary place to be. Because God is trying to wake them up, and they don't even want to listen to God. There's a lot of believers that have gotten to a place that they're not going to listen to anybody. And especially not going to listen to God anymore. There's some individuals in our world today that said, I've tried the God thing. I've made a profession. I've gone to church. I've even gone to a Christian school. I've gone to this, and I've done this, and I went to youth group, and I've done this, and I've done that. I've tried this, but I'm not listening anymore. I'm going to go do my own thing. That's the hard ground. But look a little further. Look at verse 5, verse 6, and then verse 20 through verse 21. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Look at verse 20, verse 21. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anointed with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulations or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. We have the rocky soil. This is a soil that is shallow and filled with rocks. This is a soil of individuals that hear, that even like what they hear, and they get a religion instead of a relationship. These are individuals in this stony ground. These are individuals that could even made a profession. The interpretation could even made a profession, but it never went from here to here. It went on the ground and it started. And they started to say, okay, I think this and that, and then it died off. Here's an application. There are many individuals in our day that have gotten religion, but they've never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for true salvation. They have made a profession out of some other motives, out of some other reasons. Brother Jamie shared his testimony many times, and he talked about how when he first thought he was saved, he joined a club, and they were talking about joining a club. And many individuals have gotten to that place in their lives, and I believe this is talking about is those that have made some type of so-called decision, but it hasn't gone anywhere. It hasn't gone anywhere. Why? Because if true salvation takes place, what happens? It's a changed life, and you're rooted in who? You're rooted in Christ. And no man, if you're truly saved, can pluck you out of the hand of God. And it's shallow. I want to be kind this morning, but I think we need to be careful this morning of what is referred to as the 1-2-3 pray with me. I think we need to be very careful with our children, with our young people. I want all our young people to get saved, don't get me wrong. But I'm very cautious in pushing young people to make a decision. Now, I want them to, but I don't want to push them into a decision. I don't want one person to make a decision because pastor said we should. I want them to make a decision because God worked in their heart, God opened their eyes, they saw the need of a Savior, and they put their faith and trust in Him and Him alone. I want us to understand that there are individuals who are religious, but they're lost. The Bible talks about in John chapter 3 throughout Scripture of individuals that had a religious aspect to their lives, but they were far from God. Religion has never and will never save an individual. I'm not going to get in an argument with individuals over religion, but I will defend a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I am a Baptist. I'm a Baptist by conviction. I believe the Baptist doctrines throughout the ages. I believe all that. But I'm not going to argue with someone over that. But I am going to argue over the gospel. And I am going to say that religion does not save. And I'm going to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. The only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. I am going to say that just because you've gone to church, you're not saved. Just because granddaddy was a Christian does not mean you're saved. Just because you have some religious training does not mean you're saved. The Bible says you must personally put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Not only do we have the hard soil, we have the rocky soil, but we have the thorny soil. Again, we can spend a whole lot of time in each of these. We're just scratching the surface. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Here's an interpretation. The seed's planted, but the ground isn't ready. This is an individual, as we look at the interpretation, does not mean a person loses their salvation. It means that salvation has never been taken place. This is an individual that might have been convicted in a service. They understand they need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's working in their heart, but there's something else pulling at their heart. Do you understand when you're unsaved, the devil does not want to let you go? Why? Because you're a child of his. Unsaved individual is a child of who? Satan. And the devil has hold of you. You're a child. You're dead in the trespass of your sin. You're the child of wrath and disobedience. You're the child of his. And there's many individuals. And I don't want to get into all this morning, but let me tell you, the Bible does teach God is sovereign, and it does teach that man has to receive. And we're not going to get into all the ramifications and all the different things that it's done. But I tell you, I've seen individuals sit in a service, and God is convicting them of their need of salvation. And I've seen where they fought with God and then not receive the Lord as their Savior. And they knew what they needed to do. They knew God was working in their heart. And I believe this is the ground this is talking about. Because the devil in the world has the pull and pulling them. God's convicting, but they never come to that place that they put their faith in Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the application, believer. You may be saved, but you've allowed the world to pull you. You are the devil. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. I do not. But I do believe as a believer, the application is this. Many have not pulled the weeds in their life. And the weeds in their life are starting to strangle them. Oh, it zaps your joy. We've been talking about that in the prayer of David on Sunday nights and Wednesdays. It zaps your joy. It zaps those things. And those weeds are coming in and you're not taking care of. What happens when you plant a garden and you don't prepare the ground and you don't take care of the ground on a regular basis? Rich, what happened if you tilled up the ground, you planted your seeds, it started to grow, and in the beginning you pulled all the weeds, then you decided, I'm just going to leave it be for a while. What's going to happen in a short amount of time? You won't be able to see the garden because why? The weeds become taller than the plant. And it chokes them out. There are believers today, the weeds have become taller in your life. And when someone looks at you as an individual, they don't see a believer. They see the weeds. They see the world. I tell you, we have believers today. And I'm not going to doubt. I don't want them to doubt, but I want them to examine. Because we have people that say they're believers. But man, I tell you, when you look at the individuals, you don't see a life of a believer. You see a life of a person that's in the world. And as you look at those individuals and you see this in their lives, I tell you, the Bible says, when I become a believer, I become a new creature. Old things have passed away, but all things become new. I become different because I'm in Christ Jesus. And there are some who have professed to be believers. That, again, I don't want you to doubt, but I want you to examine. I want you to see. Because if you're still living in the world, and the world has control of you, either you're just far from God, or you've never been in him. And there are some individuals today, we need to start pulling the weeds in our lives. And we can't pull those weeds. We got to seek God's forgiveness. And God can pull those weeds. How many of you have pulled weeds before? Liars, there's weeds outside. If you see a weed, pull a weed. Don't forget on the way out. But you've seen weeds and you try to pull. Some weeds are pretty easy to remove. Some are pretty easy. Some are harder. Some have little pokey stuff on them. And those that don't like to wear gloves for this stuff, you're man enough. You like to grab it and pull it, and then you got all the stuff in your hand. And then you're going crying to your wife to pull them out for you. But there's some weeds that are really hard. And sometimes you have to even go get a shovel. Or if you're Brother Dick, you just get the weed killer out and spray them. But it takes a while. If you spray the weeds, what happens? It takes a while to get rid of the weeds. But what's the instant way to get rid of the weeds? You got to pull them. And what do you have to do when you pull the weeds? You have to get the root of the weed. What if you just pulled off, and kids, lesson for you, because some of you pull weeds for your parents, you just take the top off so that you think you did it, right? Brendan, we know that's how you pull weeds. But what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to grab low, and you're supposed to move stuff around if you need to get down deep, even get your hands dirty just a little bit, Brendan. And you get down, and you pull it out because you want the root. Because if you don't get rid of the root, what's going to happen? It's going to come back. How many love goat heads? Us in Idaho, goat heads. We have goat heads everywhere. That's that weed that is awful that spreads everywhere. And it gets on the bottom of your shoe, Isaac. It gets on the bottom of your shoe. And then when you're walking around, you leave it wherever you're at. And then someone else steps on it, and it is painful. And what happens is, you don't even know it, but what are you doing? You're transferring it. And sometimes you step on that weed and you walk and you transfer it somewhere else. And you transfer it somewhere else. And now you have goat heads everywhere. Here's the idea. This is what we need to get. We got to get this. If we don't have God remove the weeds in our life and we try to remove it, it's no different than leaving the root. It's no different than stepping on a goat head and walking around because we're spreading it. We got to get to the root. And the only one that can remove the root is God. We have those grounds, but let's look at this last ground. Verse 8, verse 23. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some are hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. There is a good soil. The seed is sown. It falls on the ground that has been prepared, been ready. And I believe God works in our hearts and our lives to bring us to a point that we're ready for salvation. And God uses many things to bring us to that place in our lives. So when the gospel is given and we hear the gospel, we receive it and we understand it. We understand what we're doing. It means this, that I realize that I'm a sinner. And my sin is going to send me to hell. But there is a gracious, merciful God who found favor upon me and loved me so much. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Sent his only begotten Son to that old rugged cross to die for me and rose again. And I understand the only way for me to have my sins forgiven and have a new father and a new home is I must by faith trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I come to that place. What happens is this. The seed is planted. I receive the seed. I understand the seed. I put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I do that, something happens. Fruit is produced. The Bible says, by your fruits you should know them. What does that mean? A believer should be known by their life. James tells us we're not saved by our works, but our works identify who we belong to. And my fruit that God produces in and through me is shown who I belong to. Now it says some 60-fold, some 30-fold, and you know what? Some people do produce more fruit. There is more fruit produced, and there's more that their lives are impacted on other people and more things that all takes place, and we can talk all about that. But I'll tell you this, what I'm more excited about, I just want to see fruit. I want to see fruit in my life. And you need to want to see fruit in your life, because that is evidence that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John, we can know that we have eternal life. And how do we know? The Spirit bears witness. But also the Spirit bears witness. Also there's fruit that's shown in our lives. When the gospel is truly planted, received, it produces a change. If you're truly saved, you're not perfect. If you're truly saved, you're still going to sin. If you're truly saved, you're going to say things you wish you never said. If you're truly saved, you're still a human being. But if you're truly saved, there's a change that takes place. A great, great change takes place when Jesus Christ saves you. There's a difference. I'm not perfect, but I'm different. I don't always do what I should do, but when I don't, God convicts me of it, and I'm on my knees getting it right with God because I can't live any longer that way. How's your heart this morning? Did an EKG of your heart, your spiritual heart. How is it this morning? First question I want to ask is this. Would it show that you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would it show that without a shadow of doubt, you could stand and say, based upon the Word of God, I have no question, I have no doubt, because there's a time in my life when I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and I believe the promises of the Word of God and I know what the Word of God says, and because I've trusted Him, I have salvation. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been religious, but you never truly have seen that change in your life. Why don't you come? Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believer, we understand the interpretation, but the application is this. Maybe you're saved, but maybe you're very like some of those other grounds. Oh, you have salvation, but man, your ground is thorny. You have weeds. Maybe you need to confess it today. Ask God to forgive you of your weeds, your sin in your life. Maybe you become so hard towards the things of God. It's time to come home. Maybe you're just so shallow, you've never dug into the Word of God. You've never been taught. You've never been discipled. And you're shallow. Believer, God. God doesn't want us to stay babies the rest of our lives. He wants us to start eating the steak and potatoes. He wants us to dig into the meat. He wants us to stop being spoon-fed and get that fork and start eating. How's your heart? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we know in this parable there's so much more that we didn't even look at this morning. But Lord, you know what we needed. You know what we needed to hear. And Lord, I pray that you just show us what we need to do in our lives. Lord, those that are here, those that are watching online, continue to work in our lives and show us our need. I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as you stand. Don't look. As the pianist is playing.